aw l-semija ta' Campus 103.7 għal-program ta' ħadita Clio ma' Emanuel Buttigieġ u Liam Gawċi. Il-ġimgħa l-oħra kellna magħna l-Sur John Gatt u miegħu bdejna niddiskutu dan is-suġġett vera sabiħ tal-muniti u r-riċerka tiegħu li s-sarfet mbagħad fil-produzzjoni ta' dan il-ktieb tassew impressjonanti Coins Minted in Malta by the Night. Sorry, Coins Minted by the Knights in Malta l-ħares fl-2018 u li kif semmejna wkoll is-Sur Gatt qed jaħdem fuq edizzjoni oħra tiegħu. Kif ukoll hemm il-website li akkumpanja dan il-ktieb coinsofmalta.com u nħeġġu l-issemmija tagħna li anke jitlu fis-sit biex jaraw iktar dettalji u anke wħud mill-affarijiet li qed insemmu hawnhekk mas-Sur Gatt. Għax is-Sur Gatt reġa' qiegħed magħna biex inkomplu nesploraw dan is-suġġett tassew interessanti. L-aħħar darba konna waqafna billi rajna daqsxejn il-bidu tal-ordni f'Malta mill-punt di vista tal-muniti. L-edam u s-suċessur tiegħu u naħseb nistgħu naqbdu minn hemmhekk issa li hemm. Daw l-ewwel snin li qed iwassluna lejn l-assedju l-kbir u pereżempju l-figura ta' De Valletta sewwa. Li tant huwa importanti u diskuss minn diversi aspetti. Fejtlu l-muniti.
Yes. John obviously La Valette, you know, I think he is the most famous grandmaster. Love it or hate it, I'm of the letter. Persuasion. La Valette is important and everybody knows who La Valette is. He had some coins minted, right?
He had a large amount of coins minted.
In a reign which wasn't that long, when you consider it.
When you consider it. Go ahead.
Well, considering he was elected Grand Master in
1567.
That's right. And
1568. So yeah, just over a decade.
Yeah. Most of the coins minted were minted after the Great Siege. That short period of time before it, there are only three coins known to have been minted in that period. And both of the coins, one Tari coin and the other one a four Tari coin, are dated 1558. Now, La Valette never put the date on any of his other silver coins. All the four Taris, three Taris, two Taris, one Tari were minted without a date. Oh. And that, I assume, because they had so much coins to be minted, by putting a date limits the amount of use a coin can be used. Without a date, they could mint them all the way through the whole period of time.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
So then La Valette is obviously, we're talking about Carlino, we're talking about Six Taris. There are a lot of denominations. Before we continue, can we, in a simple way, explain to our guests what's a Picciolo, what's a Carlino, what's a Scudo? I know it's complicated, John, but it's good for people to put this into perspective.
Okay.
And just before you go, John, again, I remind our listeners that on your website, coinsofmalta.com, they can see many of these images, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Firstly, on my website, you can see all the coins in my collection, both the Knights of Malta coins and the Roman coins minted in Malta also.
Okay. Right. Tell us in a nutshell
of course,
how to understand these.
The coins minted were minted in copper, silver and gold.
Okay.
The gold coins were never seen by the population and were only used in banking circles virtually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The silver ones were used mainly by merchants and by anything big, because a one silver coin would be a person's full wages for a month.
Mm.
Yep.
And the general people, the Maltese people, would only be handling copper coins.
Yeah.
Now, when the coins left and the English came in, the English had to make a copper coin called a third of one farthing. That was, at that stage, the smallest denomination. So for a penny in English, they had 24 of these hubbas, I think they were called.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But before that, during the early stages, they had another coin, a piccioli. It is an Italian word for small.
Small, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was 1/6 of a grano. So what's 24 times 6 of a penny, as you might know. So in La Valette knowledge, to my knowledge, they minted these piccioli, but they never minted any other piccioli because the knights had a piccioli, a 3 piccioli, and a grano. There is no granos or 3 picciolis known. I emphasize the word known, minted by La Valette, but there was granos known minted by Hamidis, and there's only 2 of those known.
Wow.
One in the museum in Malta, and luckily one in my collection. But the other smaller denominations were not minted. So the most effort to mint coins was used to mint the coins that was needed to build Valletta.
Mm.
And that's the 1 tari in silver, 2 tari, 3 tari, and especially the 4 tari. They also minted a 6 tari, but I'll talk about that later. But the 4 tari is probably the largest amount of them, of varieties, and most of them you only have 1 or 2 varieties two coins in a variety. But they were used to pay the stonemasons that came from all over Europe to work on Valletta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the coins, the 2 coins that were, again, minted before the Great Siege was one tari coin, which I first came across when I was researching, and I was in a place called Bubikon in Switzerland, just out of Zurich.
Okay.
They had an old knight's farm that was owned by the knights to make money.
Okay. A command.
So they have a good collection, and I came across this 1 tari coin that I could see where the date could be, but I could not make up the date. Then probably the first time I met you, Liam, when I came to the museum to photograph the photos from your book you got there.
Yes.
These were photographs of paintings, drawings of the knights. In this book, they were coloured in.
Yeah.
And I use those images
for my book.
Yeah. That week, there was an auction in Italy, and it ended the day before I was leaving to go back home to Australia. I got online, and lucky I was in Malta because I didn't have to wake up in the morning to bid on, and I won 3 coins. And the 3 coins cost me just over 20,000 euros. I had liked to go and pick them up, but I couldn't because I had to go back home. So they were posted through UPS, and make sure a long story short, they were lost in delivery.
Oh my God!
So so that was a year before I actually minted my book. So I quickly went on the images of all these coins and put a note on each of those 3 coins: coin lost or stolen during delivery. 6 years later, last year, I had a phone call from a dealer in Australia who said to me, "I think I found your missing coins."
Oh wow!
Again, a long story short, I eventually got onto the bloke who was selling them, and I got my coins back 6 years after.
Well, there you go.
So that was lucky. and of course, I had to contact the dealer, which I did, and they said, "Let's split the price," because they had paid me my money back.
Sure.
I gave them half, and I got my coins for half price.
Okay. All's well that ends well.
All's well.
John, you love a lot. and his stories have a little bit of a nice spiritual connection, if I may say, because when I met you, and every time I meet you, I want to hear the story of the sixth time.
Okay.
And I think, knowing our listeners, they're going to love the story of how far we go to have a piece of history in our collection.
Okay. Firstly, the Sikhtari denomination,
we're still talking about La Valette.
La Valette. It's the largest silver denomination in size of La Valette. The Fortari is a 50 cent euro size coin type of thing, right? And these Fortaris were used to pay the
stonemasons.
Anyhow, they also made a six-tari coin, slightly larger. But nobody knew about that until 1853, when the English were renovating the main gates in Valletta. They came across a foundation box. In this foundation box, they found coins. Amongst the coins they found, two of them were six-tari coins. As I said before, this coin was not known in modern times that it was ever minted. The two coins, one was sold to Professor Pisani, who gave his collection
to the museum.
To the museum in Malta in 1909. And the other was given or sold to Countess Strickland. Oh. That Countess Strickland coin eventually made its way to Manuela Zapati, who sold it in 1988 in Sphinx. So when I started researching my coins, I knew of only two of these six-tari coins known. In 2013, I was in Canberra in Australia for a conference, and the day I got back was a Thursday. Before I went to sleep, I got on my computer and checked my emails. And I had a email from a person saying, "Hello, I'm so-and-so. I've got some Maltese and Spanish coins. Would you like to buy them?" And I just wrote back quickly, says, "Yes, could you please send me some photographs?" The following day, which is Friday, I wake up, and because of the time difference, of course, his email was there. And the first picture from his email I opened, my jaw hit the pavement. And I was seven floors up at that time. It was one of these six-tari coins. And there was another five other coins, four four-tari and one three-tari, all Valette.
Wow.
And about 30 or 40 Spanish coins. I said to him, "How much do you want for the six coins only?" And he came back, he wanted such and such a price. And I wrote back to him and said, "That's a very good price. Would you like me to give you, can I pick them up next week and pay you cash?" Obviously, he said yes. So when I got back home, by the time it was Monday, I contacted the airlines, booked my ticket for that evening, hopped on the plane, and I was here by the Wednesday, because that's on Monday, here by the Wednesday. My cousin picked me up, and we arranged to get the coin. So, but that night when I tried to contact him, his phone didn't answer. And I tried about three or four times. And then I emailed him.
And the gentleman was in Sicily at this
point. Sicily, yes. Could you please, we cannot contact you. Your phone is not working. Within 5 minutes, he emailed me back and says, "Sorry, my battery is dead. You can ring me now. Do you know how to speak Italian?" I wrote back to him, says, "No, but my cousin does." So we rang him up and arranged to meet him the following day. My cousin took me next morning to the terminal, because we had to get the ferry to Pozzolo. I had rented a car. And on the way to the ferry, my cousin was saying, "You must be crazy. They will kill you for 1 euro, let alone 2,000 euro, whatever it was, you know." So anyhow, I went there, got the coins, and he said, oh, my other friend have two more coins. And he put in my hand, the top one was another 4 tari coin, and I lifted up it and saw another one of these 6 tari coin. So he said to himself, my God, I got 2 of 4 known.
Wow.
So anyhow, paid him what he wanted for him and came back. And when I was going down the freeway, I stopped and started to have a good look at them. And I found that the second 6 tari coin was a different variety. If you look at my book, you'll see one with has dots around the edge of St. John, and the other one has a solid line. Now, the one with the dot is the same one at the museum in Malta, the one that was sold from the Countess Strickland collection. I found another one in the British Museum, which is the same coin, and another one, a fourth one in another museum, St. John's Ambulance Museum, which they had listed as 4 tari because they never knew a 6 tari existed when they first got it. So I have 2 coins of 6 known in the world, and one of them is a one of a kind. The other one is only 2 in private hands and 3 in museums.
Amazing.
And that's a story of the Lavalette 6 tari.
Yeah.
John, we're talking about Lavalette, we're talking about these coins, and obviously each and every grandmaster, as we said in the previous program, has his own coins, apart from Sangiele, who never actually arrived in Malta. What is the interest out there? When you published your book, I must admit there was an uproar of new enthusiasm for coins, and there is a lovely community out there. Tell us a little bit more about this. I must say you're a little bit of the grandmaster of this community.
My book, I believe, has increased the knowledge, increased the willingness of people looking for and buying coins, because every coin in my book is photographed.
Mm.
I spent everything. And for 12 years, going to museum after museum, we spent, for example, 2 weeks at the British Museum. Actually, when I first contacted the museum, they said, no, we do not allow people to photograph their coins. You could buy the images at £50 per coin. I said, you got 1,000-plus coins. How can I afford that type of money? Anyhow, I rang back a year later and spoke to another curator, and he said, look, I know we have to help people like yourself who are doing this type of work. So what time would you like to come? And I said, oh, sometime end of September, early October. And he said, that's good, because that's when the university students go back to university. Would you and your wife like to volunteer? I said, yes. What's the first job we will have? He said, your first job is to photograph the coins of the Knights of Malta. So in his office, he set up two small tables, 2 card tables for myself and my wife, and he put the 3 cabinets, which contains the coins, there, and gave me free access to take the trays out and photograph the coins, put them back, you know. I'm quite sure there must have been cameras on the walls watching me. I don't know, but we spent 2 weeks going through their whole collection.
Wow!
We did the same thing as at St. John's Ambulance, and all the other museums in England and Italy and Germany and Austria and that kind of stuff.
So your holidays are determined by where the coins are.
Definitely, but I must say, my wife insists on going. Like we did a few cruises through France's canals and that kind of
stuff.
Fair enough.
But my wife, Eileen, when I photographed the coins, I would tell her what it is, and she noted. She then weighed the coins, measured the coins, and see the rotation of the coins,
So I think her name should really be on the front of the book as well.
Well, it's there. It's there on the back.
It's there.
It's noted. She's noted.
She's noted, and she's actually here, Manuel, on the leaf.
All right.
Go ahead, Manuel.
Well, I was going to ask a really difficult question now. Do you have a favorite?
Well,
can you choose a favorite of our Goldies?
Well, amongst the coins, the six Taris are by far my favorite.
The Valette ones.
The Valette ones, yeah.
Okay.
I'm very passionate of Valette. I've got something like 300 different varieties of the four Tari coins.
Wow.
Many of them are one of a kind.
What causes the variety in coinage?
Okay. Understand. In throughout the whole period of when the knights were, all the dies, and the dies are the tools that make the coins,
uh-huh,
are made by hand. There's nothing like new computers or copying lathes in those days. Everyone was made by hand. So every die,
uh-huh,
has to be, is different.
It's unique by nature.
By nature. And the knights weren't the best of minters, and probably the purity and the of the silver and gold and copper weren't the best, and the dyes didn't use the best steel, whatever. But and in early days, especially until about 1690, all the coins were made by having a bottom die with a spike at the bottom of it, and that was hammered into a large block of log of wood, and another die which was held by the hand. The coin was heated in an oven, put on the bottom die. The mentor would put in another die and give it a whack with a hammer, a large sledgehammer, I would say. And the top dies would mushroom over and wear out and break.
Oh, wow.
So they would have a whole group of dies getting made, and they would use maybe four top dies or hammer dies for every bottom die, because that one was always stable in the block of wood, you know.
Yeah.
And literally hundreds and hundreds of dies were made for each denomination, and with the four Taris being for such a long period of time and in such large quantities.
Mm.
That's why there's so many of them, you know?
I see. Well, thank you for that. It really helps to understand why there is so much.
Talking about post-1690, there is an obvious and evident upgrade in the beauty of the coins. Well, in the beauty, in the artistic quality, so to speak, because obviously pre-1690, they still have their beauty, they still have their...
Mm. The quality, now is...
Yes. And I would go to Vilena. I would go when you look at Vilena.
Vilena, by far, the coinage made during his period was exceptional.
His name is Emmanuel.
Manuel Vilena. It was exceptional.
There is quality when your name is Manuel. Yes.
And unfortunately, the coins weren't only very nice looking; they were also minted at a higher grade of silver, and which made people want to melt them down and take a profit from the silver.
From the silver.
So that's why their coins are rarer than they should be.
Yes.
Oh, I see. You know? Yeah, because they get recycled a lot.
They get melted down and lost.
I'm going to ask you, we're nearing the end of our interview, and I want to ask you, there is always that the legendary auction, the Restelli auction, which took place in Zurich in 2015, if
correct,
I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And we all know that there was the Vilena 12 Zecchini,
yeah,
that went for an astonishing price.
€385,000, I think, if I remember.
That's, dear listeners, that is a Maltese coin going at that price. When you look at that quality, when you look at how desirable these coins are, what is the reason behind it? Why? Because they're beautiful, because the lure of Malta, the lure of the Knights of St. John, or is it just because John Gutt is telling everybody about how beautiful these are?
I think everybody knew about how good looking they are, how beautiful, as you say. Besides, they're gold. They're very rare. They were actually minted by Velena as gifts.
Presentation
pieces. And these is a big hunk of gold, which would be a whole year's wages for a relatively wealthy person.
I held the one in the National Collection in my hands, and I was trembling.
I held every one of them.
Yeah. Not many people can outdo me on those sort of things. Here I'm outdone. It's the quality. You see the face of the Grandmaster in his flowing wig. It's beautiful. It's gold.
They were very well struck.
Yes.
At that stage, the screw press
came
into being. They were not minted by hand. So these ones were what they call in the terminology milled coins, which means they were made by machine. Yeah.
That sort of noise, if I may.
Well,
John, we are nearing the end.
Yeah, every coin has two sides.
Yeah, there's a two sides to every story.
Yes.
This one has to come to an end.
It has to come to an end, but you know so much and you've shared so much with us. Are there any questions left? What do we need to learn? There's a new book in the pipeline, so I would like to say that as well.
Okay. I haven't stopped researching. The day I sent my computer stick or to the printer, I came across another four tari on La Valette. So before the books were printed, there was already one new variety.
It was already out of date.
It was already out. So over the last 5 years since my book was printed, 6 years, I have found 405 new varieties.
Wow.
I'm finding probably one or two every month. Because of my book, private Maltese have come out of the woodwork with their coins. And this is what I've been doing mostly while I'm in Malta. I'm having people come visit me at my apartment in Foriana, and I have my computer and my cameras set up to photograph their coins. And to date, I've photographed about 300 coins already, and hope to, by the time I leave, another 1,000 coins will be in my catalogue. Because I don't tell people how rare they are. I tell them how many coins I've seen in museums of that variety and how many in private collections. So you get an accurate knowledge of the actual value or rarity of their coin.
So, John, we will wait for the new book, and hopefully you will be back here talking all about it, all about the new varieties. Jiena Liam Gawċi, flimkien ma' Emmanuel Buttigieġ, inselmilkom u nintaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla fuq Campus 103.7.